And I thought to myself, where am I going? What am I doing? What am I really passionate about? And I found myself saying, I am a product connoisseur. I love to help brands be successful.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. In the rapidly changing world of retail sales, Amazon and other online marketplaces are drastically reshaping the shopping world. Businesses are struggling to adapt to the world's fastest growing segment of e-commerce. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we will be talking with Peter Kearns, Head of Client Solutions for 180 Commerce. Peter is a former Amazon Marketplace leader who will share his experience working with hundreds of sellers, large and small, generating $300 million and counting in online sales. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Arnie. It's great to be here.
For our listeners, give me a snapshot of 180 Commerce.
180 Commerce is a brand strategy and solutions agency. We manage brands that sell products on marketplaces like Amazon, Jet, and Walmart. We're a complete hands-off-the-wheel solution for them.
So you spent a number of years as a marketplace leader at Amazon. Why did you leave?
That is a great question. I get asked that quite a bit, actually. I was with Amazon for almost 4 years, and I will tell you, I loved it. It was an incredible experience. It was very challenging, but I chose to move here to Missoula because we have a family, my wife and I, and she's from here. She grew up here. Her family's here, and we felt like this was a better place for us to raise our family where I could be more involved, and I could still do the kind of work that I was doing because of the technology that we have today.
And what kind of work were you doing?
Basically, I was doing what I'm doing now while at Amazon. So we worked closely with brands and resellers to expand the catalog, if you will. If a brand is selling a product and they have 100 products in their catalog and there may only be 30 of them on Amazon, my team would go out and find those other 70, either working with the brand or a reseller.
It was recently announced or speculated that Amazon would be a $1 trillion company in the next 18 months.
Yeah.
Do they suck all the air out of the room?
I don't know if they suck all the air out of the room, but I will say that there is definitely an air of confidence when they do walk into the room. And I can speak from experience that we are Amazon, or, you know, when I was there, and we would have conversations, C-level executive conversations, large brands in the United States and globally. And we would have very candid conversations with them. And if we didn't get what we wanted or we weren't able to achieve what we were trying to achieve, we were very, I don't want to say arrogant, but I'm sure it probably came across as arrogant, but we were very confident in our ability to achieve our objective with or without them.
Brands can't afford to avoid Amazon. And if they can, for some reason, if there's not a good fit, they certainly can't afford to avoid the e-commerce marketplace. I mean, it's so fast growing. I think in 2017, there was $454 billion worth of sales on the web. 42% of that was Amazon, but there are other players that are on, you know, eBay and Overstock.com and others. What is happening to the retail world? Are brick and mortar stores obsolete?
That's a really good question. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say are they obsolete, but I will say that the power of the Amazon marketplace, the ability for a brand to more or less reach over 300 million customers worldwide instantly, is very appealing. And so it is changing the playbook for brands, how they decide to go to market. No longer do they need to rely on, you know, specific space on shelves, end caps, particular product placement, even packaging for the store. They don't need to do that. They can go direct to consumer via marketplace. I think the thing that's interesting is that Amazon isn't for every brand. And there are brand owners who don't want their products on Amazon. But I will tell you that the power of Amazon and the way that consumers are shopping on Amazon, it's expected that all of e-commerce will, you know, 58% of all of U.S. e-commerce will be Amazon by the end of the year, or 2020, within the next couple of years. The path that the product takes to get into the consumer's hands includes Amazon, whether the brand wants it or not. And it's really important that brands look at that, because if they don't have a strong strategy for controlling their brand and making sure that it's positioned the way they want it on Amazon, and then it's in the hands of resellers and other types of businesses that don't have this brand's best interest at place and so at heart. And so what happens is brands then find themselves with a really challenging situation.
I'm intrigued by your comment, brands will be on Amazon whether they want to be or not. Well, tell me what that really means.
Yeah, so if you create a product and it's a great product and there is a demand, people will look for it on Amazon. There are over, it's estimated, between 2 to 5 million sellers on the Amazon marketplace. So you're talking a lot of small entrepreneur, I don't want to say aggressive, but really creative entrepreneurs who are out there and they're looking for the next product that can go onto Amazon and sell it. And so a brand launches on their website, they spend millions of dollars or thousands of dollars or even just a little bit of money to generate traffic, generate awareness. They get their product into a retail store and then people are looking for it on Amazon and it's not there. Well, there are entrepreneurs who are looking for brands, products that people are looking for that aren't there. So then these people will actually go into a retail store and buy it from the retail store and turn around and sell it on Amazon.
So that's the whether you want it or not.
That's the whether you want it or not.
Does Amazon and these other online retail marketplaces actually level the playing field for small companies? Small companies can actually now compete with the large brands?
Yes. Actually, I think it doesn't. It goes a step beyond that. It gives the small brands a head start, because you have so many large institutional brands, you know, brands that you and I would know about, you know, because we've grown up with them. They're around us every single day. They take so long to move. They take so long to adapt and pivot. Whereas Amazon, the marketplace, what they've done in the last 2 years is create this amazing suite of services for small independent brands, emerging brands, to create an account, launch new products, and then leverage all these really strong tools that a lot of these larger institutional brands aren't using. They're kind of ignoring. And so what happens is that these brands are ignoring the marketplace. You know, 62% of shopping searches start on Amazon. So there's huge people going there looking for products. And so these larger brands aren't taking advantage of that. And these emerging brands capitalize on that. They're able to drive the traffic to their listing and convert on the sale.
You mentioned that some people don't want to be on Amazon.
Sure.
But let me ask you this. Who shouldn't be on Amazon?
Yeah. I think that who shouldn't be on Amazon is, you know, honestly, any company brand owner that just fundamentally doesn't want to be there, but they still need to have an Amazon strategy. They need to be able to police it, because the amount of pirated material that's coming from overseas is significant. And so if they're building a product off of Amazon and they're keeping it off of Amazon, they need to pay close attention.
Well, don't they also need to have a certain amount of volume to respond to the Amazon appetite?
Not necessarily. I mean, you can launch with one product and start selling. It's really pretty easy.
And so how does a product differentiate itself on Amazon? I want a white shirt. I go on and I go into the search box and I put in white shirt and 5,000 white shirts pop up.
Yes, quite literally.
Literally. So how does that all work? And yeah. What does a potential seller need to know about that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The first thing you should know is Amazon, their mindset, it's all about the consumer. It's all about the customer. They always work from the customer backwards. And so as a business that's selling products on Amazon, you want to keep that in mind. And so what you have is, when you're selling a product on Amazon, there's that your product page, which is called a detail page. And that detail page, it needs to be what's called optimized. And optimized means that you have all the great product images, you have a really good title, you have really good product description and bullets. And really what it comes down to is making sure that you're telling your product's story so that when you go to that white shirt, you see that it was, you know, made in the USA, or it's a 100% organic cotton, you know, it's the most comfortable shirt in the world. And you build this story around it. You tell the story, and you tell the story about your company also. It's really important that consumers start to know where this product is coming from. Is it done ethically or not? Because that's really impacting how consumers shop. So the way to stand out is to tell a good story, have really strong content, great images, great descriptions.
And that leads to, I think, the next step, which is one that I pay attention to, most people I know, is other customers' review and assessment of products.
Yes, absolutely.
And you have to take some of that with a grain of salt, because sometimes one irate person who has a vendetta of some sort can skew the whole picture about a product.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those things where, you know, a little bit ago I was saying that even if you're not selling your products on Amazon, you have to have a strategy, because your product, if there's volume for it, if there's demand, it will end up there. And then who's monitoring those reviews? And there could be a one-star review that's listed on the product that the customer's complaining that the shipment arrived late. Well, that has nothing to do with the product. But then when customers go and look and start doing research on the product, they see it's a one-star review and they just go and they buy the competition white shirt instead. So it's really important to get a strategy around there to handle those reviews, monitor those reviews, because as Amazon continues to grow, as Prime membership continues to grow, you know, their Prime program, 2 free-day shipping, as that continues to get more and more and more people in the United States and around the world, people start looking at Amazon not just as a shopping destination, but also as a place to research products and read those reviews. So you may not want your products being sold on Amazon, but you want your products indexed on there, so if customers go and look for it, they can find it.
Does Amazon dictate price to sellers as much as somebody like Walmart does?
It depends. There's two ways really to sell products on Amazon. You can be a retailer, traditional retail sense, where Amazon issues you a purchase order and then they issue you a price within that purchase order. You can choose to fulfill that purchase order. And in that particular situation, they are dictating the buy price of the product, and Amazon will determine the selling price of the product. And they have to have that flexibility to compete with image competitors like Walmart or Target, right. And or if they buy too much and they need to sell through the inventory. The nice thing about being a seller through the marketplace is the brand or the business controls everything. You control the price. You control how much you're selling, how many units you're sending into their fulfillment centers. So in that particular instance, the brand or the reseller has all the control.
I've heard potential sellers on Amazon be concerned about, will putting my product on Amazon ruin my retail strategy? Will they, you know, discount it to a point, or will it get so mass merchandise that no one will go into Nordstrom's or Home Depot and buy my product?
Sure. So I think we're at the point now with regards to, you know, e-commerce in general, that if a brand isn't responsible about how they're addressing the different channels that they're selling a product through, then it's for sure going to damage any kind of retail or other e-commerce retail distribution centers, because customers are going to go and find the product at a lower cost and buy it from there instead. So it all goes back to that strategy. Make sure that the brand or the reseller has a strategy with these different channels to ensure that the pricing is the same. Because at that point, then the experience for the consumer is the same. And they're not going to walk into a retail store. They're not going to see it for $20 less on marketplace like Amazon or Walmart and buy it from them instead. They'll buy it from the retail store that they're standing in and check out.
We're talking with Peter Kearns, Vice President of Client Solutions at 180 Commerce. So how did you get into this? How did you get this particular niche?
The recession hit. a number of years ago. And I thought to myself, I was in advertising and marketing, newspaper advertising and marketing, and I had been working with resellers, retailers, and brands for years on all of these marketing campaigns. And I thought to myself, where am I going? What am I doing? What am I really passionate about? And I found myself saying, I am a product connoisseur. I love to help brands be successful. And this was about 2011. I was in Seattle and Amazon was literally exploding around me. I mean, they had just purchased a building from the company I was working at. They demolished the building and were building a new skyscraper outside my office. And I thought, that's where I need to go. So I had an opportunity. I interviewed with them twice and then got on with the seller services team and started working with brands and resellers to help them come to the Amazon marketplace, tap into Amazon's customer base, and in some cases, generate significant revenue.
How do companies find you?
I speak at a lot of conferences. I do a lot of content, so white papers and blog posts with other service providers. This space is exploding. This space for brands and resellers to get help with Amazon, to understand what's happening with Amazon, is absolutely exploding. From, you know, small automated tools to better managed pricing, you know, automated repricing tools to, you know, really complex advertising tools to understand customer sentiment, make sure that products aren't going out of stock. So usually what happens is a brand or a reseller comes to the, you know, they have an epiphany or they wake up one day and they realize we need help with Amazon. Sales are down or sales aren't going in the direction that they think they should be going. They see their competition taking share from them. You know, a number of things occur. They hear some things, they see some businesses doing better than theirs, or they see, you know, other examples of opportunities. And so they start looking for help on Amazon. They'll Google search, you know, Amazon consultants, Amazon brand management. And there's a lot of riffraff out there, if you will, because there are different ways, there's different philosophies, but there are ways that will get your brand in trouble because Amazon's terms of service are so strict. And they'll, you could be selling and realize that you just asked 1,000 people to give you a review in exchange for a discount, which is a violation of Amazon's terms of service. And now Amazon has removed your selling privileges and you're no longer selling there anymore. So it's really important that businesses that are looking for help vet who they're going to be working with and make sure that they're actually working with somebody who knows what they're talking about.
When a business comes in to see you, do you find that what they're asking for help for is not what they really need help for?
Actually, that happens quite a bit. And it's often really difficult. And, you know, I don't want to say that Amazon arrogance comes back into play here, but a lot of times brands or businesses will come to us and they think they know exactly what they need. And it's not, because the mindset to be successful on Amazon is really difficult. And until that owner, that business leader can shift that mindset and start to see it, then they're not going to be successful. We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago with an incredibly large retailer who wanted to, you know, they came to us, they said, hey, we have this great strategy. This is what we're going to do. And we basically said, we would love to work with you, but that will never work. And these are the reasons why.
Peter, you have a very specific set of skills that not many people have, because you were on the inside and of Amazon. And I'm sure that experience is similar to experiences on the inside of some of the other competitors to Amazon.
Sure.
At 180 Commerce, are you planning to grow? And if you are, where are you going to get your employees from?
Yeah, we are growing. We're hiring right now. I'm in Missoula. My corporate office is based in Carlsbad, California. We have a team of 8 right now, looking to grow to about 12. And, you know, the thing that is really interesting about the technology today is you don't need to be in Carlsbad. You could be in Missoula, Montana. You could be in New York City. You could be in London. If you've got the knowledge and the mindset to be able to be part of our team, we want you there. Not everyone needs to come from Amazon. I'm the only former Amazonian that's on our team. We have really extensive e-commerce and marketplace experience. And so that's really important also, because while Amazon for many people is, you know, the place to be, it's not the be all end all. And so having that extensive e-commerce experience is really helpful.
So how do you see the industry changing?
I think the thing that is really interesting is that what Amazon has done, while it is all about basically getting a product into a consumer's hands in 2 days for free, it's so much more than that. It's becoming part of our existence in kind of a little scary kind of way. You've got Amazon Prime Video, where you're watching really good digital content, movies, Oscar-winning movies, television shows. They've got streaming music. But I think the thing that is really what no one is really able to get their hands around is what's going to happen with voice-activated search types of products that are integrated into our home with Amazon's Alexa. And that's huge. That is a space that is on the verge of just exploding with products that are getting integrated for voice-activated artificial intelligence, voice-activated search and artificial intelligence. And I think the thing that a lot of businesses need to be looking at is that's technology that is in its infancy. It's in the 8-track stage, if you will. And if you look at the evolution of 8-tracks to CDs to MP3s to these digital streaming services now, what is that voice-activated search technology going to be? And it's going to be, to some people, incredibly scary, and some people it's very exciting, but it's going to be woven into the fabric of our existence. You know, Alexa, start my car, warm it up, preheat the oven. And I think the thing is to pay close attention to that is how are your products, how are brands going to start integrating their products into that kind of technology? Because it's not necessarily for you and I, it's for the Generation Alpha, which is my son who's 6. It's after the generation, Generation Z. And that generation is growing up with that technology. We have a device at home and he gets in fights with Alexa, but it opens the door to so many things because music, he says, Alexa, search for songs by Justin Timberlake or somebody like that. And he'll misspeak. He'll say something else. And so she'll play something instead. And he'll say, what is this? And she'll tell him and he'll start listening to that kind of music. Well, that generation is growing up with that technology and they're going to not know anything else. I think it's important to also recognize that it's not going to end everything. There will still be a very strong need for consumers to get out of the house, shop and connect. And I think you're going to see an evolution, especially in the grocery space. Grocery stores are going to become grocerants, where you've got your inside shelves that have your regular packaging, but you've got a beautiful restaurant in there. You can go in, you can get dinner to go, you can sit down and eat, you can connect with people. And so I think you're going to see that evolution. Where at home you may say, Alexa, add carrots to my shopping list. And then Alexa will say, would you like to purchase them from this grocery store and pick them up today at 3? And then you say yes, and then you pick them up on your way home. I think we're going to see that kind of integration. But I don't think that you're not going to see the end of brick and mortar retail. I think that the key for brick and mortar retail is going to continue to evolve and to be able to connect with consumers. You're seeing success with brick and mortar retails like Sephora and Ulta, who are growing. And a big part of that is their ability to connect with consumers and create great experiences.
You're seeing some of what you were alluding to early with the restaurant grocery combination in places like Mario Batali's Italy in New York and other cities.
Yeah.
We can go there and shop for specialized food, but there's also 10 restaurants in there.
Yeah.
And people want to have that, that experience.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the reasons why Amazon acquired Whole Foods. While they won't come out and say we needed a brick and mortar solution, they just bought 417 of them. So what, action speaks volumes.
So where do you see 180 Commerce heading? I mean, how do you stay on top of all of this, and where do you see your company a couple of years down the line?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, a few years ago, businesses could create an account and launch on Amazon and start selling. And in many ways, it's the similar mindset of a startup. And in that case, you're a generalist. You can do everything. the sophistication of the marketplace now, the tools for advertising, the tools for you making sure that your product is never running out of stock, managing customer service, monitoring your performance and staying green, as you will, in Amazon language, to Amazon policies. It's moved from a generalist to you really have to have a specialist who focuses on logistics, who focuses on content. And as brands start to recognize their need for these types of services, they have two choices. They can either hire, bring people in-house, or they can work with an agency like ours. And I see the growth for our company is really making sure that we're working closely with brands and continuing to help drive the brand message and to be able to help the brand achieve their goals. Because we do help brands who choose not to sell on Amazon. They come to us and say, how do I control what's going on with Amazon? Because I don't want to be there. And again, if there is a demand for the product, it will usually find its way on there.
Lastly, yes, without divulging any confidentiality, tell me a success story that you've worked with.
So there's different types of success stories. There's the success stories of the brands that have launched who are generating millions of dollars. I helped a watch company launch their products on Amazon. I was sitting at a coffee shop in Las Vegas before a conference last September, and a woman came up to me and said, hey, are you Peter Kearns? And I said, yes. And she gave me a big hug and a note from the founder of the company that said, hey, thanks to you, we launched and we're generating, $4 million a year. So that's a great success story. They're significant revenue. Another great success story is a small startup here in Missoula, Montana, that was running their business out of their basement. And someone emailed them to me and said, hey, I think you should help this company. And they, again, they weren't selling on Amazon, but their brand, their product had already found their way because they had sold to a distributor who then put it up on Amazon. And so, they went from nothing on Amazon to really beautiful, rich detail pages, all 5-star reviews. And while they're not making millions, they've been doing this for about 10 months. And I want to say that they're, probably going to generate over $100,000 in revenue this year. And, now they have a problem of how do we scale? How do we make more products so we don't run out of stock? Those are great success stories that we see all the time. We have one brand that we've worked with that came to us that didn't have a strategy and they were all over the place. They had really bad product reviews because they weren't paying attention. They had a whole bunch of resellers who were undercutting their pricing. So, brick and mortar stores were stopping carrying the product because they couldn't compete. They came to us. We helped them control their resellers. We helped them establish their pricing. And within 9 months of getting their fulfillment all up and running, they saw 400% growth month over month. So there is a lot of success stories. And it's a lot of fun because when we're working with all different size businesses, especially the smaller startups, emerging brands, it can directly impact those businesses where they're able to tap into those types of resources. They're hiring more people. They're creating more products. They're generating jobs. So those are the success stories that I have that I really gravitate towards because at the end of the day, we're kind of making a difference.
Peter, this has been a fascinating conversation. I look forward to spending time with you again sometime in the future. And when the first drone shows up at my house with my Amazon package, I'll be thinking about you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
I appreciate you listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time to Can Do, when our guest will be Paige Williams, founder and CEO of Audience Awards, a platform for short format filmmakers that connects the audience, media outlets, and brands with the artist. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman wishing you peace and prosperity. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.